about that dirt, 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 dirt. I'm throwing dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that dirt, 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 dirt.
Gotta get back to
I'm
it.
A dirt trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that dirt, 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 dirt.
Gotta get back to it.
I've been the Kenny Wallace of the rap game. Woo! Ever since I hit him with that dirt track thing.
Yeah.
Now nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like.
Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Them cold kind, we're tossing.
Right.
They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution.
Get it.
I hit the high side. Boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like Kyle.
Welcome to Throttled Up, the podcast. Throttled Up will be a weekly podcast featuring Matt and Dustin. We plan to discuss the legendary Brownstown Speedway, along with other local dirt tracks, Eldora, Salem Speedway, and all of your IndyCar and NASCAR news. Don't miss an episode of Throttled Up, the podcast.
Hey, Mo, are you going to win it? Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, because y'all know I'm about to send it on there. Dirt. All about that dirt, 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 dirt. I'm throwing dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that dirt, 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 dirt.
Gotta get back to
I'm a dirt trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that.
Welcome to episode 2 of Throttled Up, the podcast with Matt and Dustin. We got a guest in studio tonight. Matt, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing really good. Good week. Obviously, unlucky with we missed out on some racing, and unfortunately, looks like we're going to miss out on some more.
Yeah, on the way over here tonight, I got the text message. It said everything canceled for the weekend at Brownstown. I think April 6th is the rescheduled date there.
Yeah, and I believe, and I saw the reschedule dates. Am I correct that the All In 25's out? They're just going to run the No Way Out together.
Yeah, I believe that's what it said there.
That's the way I read it. So, unfortunate. I was excited for Friday night. We actually have it's actually sitting here. Just got in the mail today. The UPS guy dropped off our mobile recording mic and recording platform to get out to the pits and talk to some fans and talk to some drivers. So I was excited to try that out on Friday night. Now it looks like it's going to have to wait a few more weeks. So
looks like the April 6th schedule, though, the sprint car is going to be 7,500 to win, super late models 2,000 to win, and the modifieds 1,000 to win. So still going to be a good show.
Absolutely. So we have a guest in studio today, and I'm going to have you, Matt, go ahead and introduce him a little bit. Also, on top of just being a guest, one of our sponsors, he's a part of In the Fast Lane Productions, and we're really excited to have him here this evening.
He's at least 50% of it. It's going to be Ryan Bowling, like you said, In the Fast Lane Productions. Ryan, pretty passionate about his work, so we're going to get into what brought that passion on and, you know, everything he does there for the sport with his videoing.
Good evening, Ryan.
Yep, good evening. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for making the trip out.
And we appreciate you, you know, letting us throw your name out there with our show and you putting our name on your stuff. So that's appreciative there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we are. What we're all about is exposure and anything we can do, you know, video, podcast. It's great. I love it.
And I'm going to transition there real quick because I had a note and I already missed it right at the beginning. But talking about exposure, I do want to throw out another podcast. That's the Briscoe Breakdown. It's done by a buddy of mine, Toby Wedgwood, and it really is following Chase Briscoe as he kind of climbs the ranks in NASCAR. Toby does a great job with it. It is a tremendous kind of look inside the mind of that young, budding NASCAR star in Chase Briscoe. So if you're interested in the dirt track side as well, because Chase has got his sprint car team, you know, up and ready to run. I know you and I talked the other day, Matt, about Briscoe was tweeting out to Brownstown Speedway saying, "Give me a heads up. I want to know what I'm doing this weekend." So I think he was planning on being at the No Way Out. So if you're looking for a good racing podcast, check out the Briscoe Breakdown with Toby Wedgwood.
Yeah, that's what's sad is I think he was going to show up. I know Ryan, he helps take care of the Brownstown sites there, and you said that he was asking, and you was hoping you could let him know something.
Yeah, he reached out, and I saw that, and I'm like, man, in my heart, I knew that, you know, the weather was going to get us. It's one of those deals. I mean, it's Indiana, it's March. What are you going to do?
You hold out hope, and I was hoping as well, but I kept pulling up. And the funny thing is, obviously, I'm in education, and with the snow that just came in now, everybody's like, oh, man, is it going to be a snow day? I'm like, I haven't even looked at the weather for the midweek. I have followed Friday and Saturday, and I even asked Matt the other day. I said, will they maybe run the all-in 25 even if Saturday looks bad? Because I just wanted something to go on at the track this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals this early in the year. You know, there's been events down south even where the weather's nicer being canceled. So, I mean, it's a big gamble the tracks are taking to do this. But, you know, they're not making any money sitting idle either. So,
right. If it was one of those springs that it was 70 and sunny right now, you'd be kicking yourself if your track's sitting empty and you hadn't scheduled something. So,
well, I've seen where Volunteer Speedway canceled there in Tennessee for this weekend. So, Lucas Oil is going to do three races in three different states over the weekend, and Volunteer Speedway had to cancel out. So,
well, and I think they're even changing the weather to Saturday now to more of a winter storm type deal than just rain.
Yeah, that's
so
what they said.
I think we're going to see another round of snow right here at the start. So it's been a crazy spring already. So Ryan, obviously, you know, in the Fastlane Productions and the video work you do, but let's go all the way back. Where does this passion and drive about racing come from?
I mean, like a lot of people in this sport now, I was just kind of born into it. You know, all of my childhood memories basically are from the racetrack. You know, we were at Brownstown on Saturday nights, and we'd go to Salem Speedway on Sundays, and that was just what we did, you know, as a family. You know, from there, I got a little older. I got to helping some people, like in the pits, and just hanging out, seeing that end of it. And, you know, I think it's fair to say once you get in it and get hooked, it's hard to get out.
I have to agree. And you raced for a little bit yourself, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I tried messing around with it when, you know, the Hornet division was, you know, not to get into the politics of it, back when it was truly what it was supposed to be. So I did that a little bit. And, you know, from there, I got into a different side of it, which I'm in now, and you know, I don't see any turning back now from that. So
I think the amazing thing about it, and you kind of alluded to it there with the idea that it's, you don't get out of it when you really find true passionate dirt track fans, they're involved in some way. You know, they may not all drive, which obviously we can't all drive, but they may be one of the six or seven guys that's hanging out in the garage through the week helping their buddy wrench. They may be in the media side of it filming like you. They may be an announcer in the tower. You know, they have to be involved in some way. And that's kind of my excitement with us starting this podcast is I was kind of that fair weather fan, Matt and I have joked about that, but this is going to force me to be there. And truly, that's what I want to do is get to go out and watch the races.
And, you know, I'm going to tell you, from just our first episode, I had, you know, a guy come up and talk to me at our work, and he said, you know, I've never really gotten into racing, but after I listened to your guys' podcast, you made me want to go watch the races again. Because he said he went a couple times and really didn't understand it, but after he listened to his talk, he goes, I listened to your whole episode, and he said, you make me want to go watch the races now. So, you know, that was kind of our goal, was
absolutely
to turn people on that maybe haven't been to the races. So, you know, we got one out of the first episode, so...
And that's one more butt in the seat, and that's what we're really trying to go for, is to get people out. Because, you know, in all entertainment right now is expensive, but you really can't understand the value of a true Saturday night show until you actually go and sit and see. You know, most of the complaints on a Saturday night show is it gets over too late. It's not you ended too early and I felt like I didn't get my money's worth. It's, oh my gosh, we're still racing at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and we're tired. And I'm not making that complaint, but it's never, are you serious? That's all there was? There's always some excitement.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, I've talked to people before and you know, I'm not afraid to say it. I don't like being there late either. You know, I feel like by 10:30, 11 o'clock, we need to be getting out to help keep that, you know, those more fair weather fans. I mean, I think there's a certain time limit there that you lose them. No matter what kind of product you've put out there, you know, if they've sat there 5 or 6 hours, they're done. And, you know, even me on the backside of it, I don't like getting out of there at midnight or 1 o'clock or later. And, you know, I go home and edit video and you know, depending on what I'm doing, I might be up to 4 or 5 just finishing up projects. So,
well, it's tough, and it's been tough for me as well for the family aspect of it. I mean, I've got a 4-year-old son, and he went to the No Way Out with us last year, and he loved it, but we had to leave before the late model feature that night, the double feature, because it was getting 10:30, 11 o'clock. And so my wife and I sometimes have to make that decision. Do we drive separate so that I can come back later? So for those young kids, I agree with you. I think that we got to be, you know, aware that for those young kids to stick around and be a part of this sport, we've got to be conscious of those things.
And I think all in all, it's not an intention to run till midnight, 1 o'clock, but just, you know, things happen that, you know, pushes the time back. You know, I think the intention is to be out by 10:30, 11, you know, just, it's racing. You don't know what's going
to
happen.
Well, and even that show that I went to last year, in defense of them, they tried to start it earlier in the sunshine. And when you're trying to make up both those two features and run, anybody who went out that night, I knew what it was going to be. There was no surprise in that. So, Ryan, you know, to kind of follow up, you've always been around the racing world. You've always had a passion for it. But why did you make that decision to kind of steer into the video side of it?
Well, I think that I kind of got in a point in my life where, you know, I was always at the racetrack. That was just what I did on the weekends. But I got to a point where I honestly did start getting a little bored with it. I mean, racing in general, I just I didn't have what I felt is a true connection anymore to it. Like, I mean, I loved going. It wasn't that. But just something was missing. And, you know, I've got to give credit to Mark Schaefer, the photographer at Brownstown Speedway. You know, he approached me one day and said, "Hey, I'm thinking about seeing if we can do like some video stuff. Would you be interested in helping?" And I thought, well, I don't know anything about a video camera. I know nothing. But I said, sure, I need something to get me more involved in this sport and give me that, whatever it was I was looking for. So, you know, he got some equipment and we just kind of dove into it. We started out doing, you know, like shop interviews. I had a lot of fun with that. You know, from there, I kind of got hooked on, you know, I got to really paying attention to the media side of the sport, what everybody was doing. You know, from there, it snowballed from there. So, but yeah, that's just how it started. I was just kind of bored and picked up a something new and took off with it.
Very cool.
But that's really taken off now because the last year or two, Dirt on Dirt has started to hire you now to go off to the bigger named races and actual video those. So, you know, that, like you told me last year, you know, you're actually starting to get a paycheck from your passion. So, I mean, that's got to be amazing right there.
Yeah, that definitely, you know, I can remember when, you know, I was there at Brownstown Video and you know, I was getting a lot of positive feedback from there. And we got with Sean Buckley with Jack Slash. It's a sprint car website here in Indiana. I got in contact with him one day and we got to talking. He's like, "Man, I like what you're doing. Would you be interested in helping me some?" So I started helping him on the side. And then, you know, Dirt on Dirt, Michael Rigsby, we got in contact with him, and, you know, he's been wanting me to come on actually full time with him for the past couple of years. And, you know, that'd be an amazing opportunity, but, you know, there's other stuff in life that, you know, I've got a stable job. I've got, you know, I'm kind of set up right now. And, as much as I would love to go do a motorsports job, you know, that's everybody's dream. As much as I'd love to go do it full time, it's just right now in my life with, you know, I'm married and, you know, I've got, like I said, the stable job. It's hard to jump away from that to go racing, you know, as bad as that sounds. I know that sounds terrible, but, But yeah, it's been fun working for those guys. I've, you know, had amazing opportunities there, and I've got to work some of the biggest races in dirt late model racing. So yeah, it's been fun.
Well, and I wouldn't say that it sounds awful. It sounds responsible, which all of us struggle with at times to make those responsible decisions. But I understand that, because all of us have to make those, you know, tough decisions at times. So, you know, one question I had for you is, what is kind of the craziest experience you've had in filming? You know, is whether it's one interview, whether it's something you caught in the pits, whether it's some wreck, do you have something that stands out in your mind as you've done this that just blew you away?
Yeah, I mean, the wrecks and things like that, that's always, you know, we've kind of got a rule. You don't want to see a wreck, but you don't want to miss it either. You know, in the video world, that's just the, you don't want to see it, but you don't want to miss it either. So yeah, I mean, I've got some good wrecks on video that it's been fun to, you know, you go back and see it on TV or whatever, and it's like, oh, I shot that, that's cool, you know. So you get that thrill. But I think the biggest thing is just, I don't know, I would say with some of these races that I've worked for Dirt on Dirt, you know, like the Dream up at Eldora, the World 100, I've got to go to Knoxville. It's just being in these places that there's so much prestige and you're right there in the middle of it. I mean, that to me is has been the biggest thrill. You know, I can remember that, you know, there was a point there, that first race I worked at Eldora, you know, we were live. It was a live broadcast. I'm up top, like, as one of the main cameras. And I was just standing there like, wow, this is cool. Like, I don't know from this point, where do I go next? You know, this is, I never would have dreamed I would have been here, and here we are. So I think just the prestige has been the coolest thing for me, really.
And I think you kind of film like I announce it. You the fan in you kind of pulls there. You, like you said, you film what you'd want to see as a fan. And, you know, when I announce, that's kind of what, you know, what would I want to hear if I was sitting down in the grandstands? And I think that's why your filming is so good, is because that, you're doing what people want to see. It's not, you know, always constantly following the leader. And because, you know, there's a lot of times that gets boring. You know, the front of the race gets boring a lot. And you'll go back and find where the action is and stuff. And I think that's what makes you good.
Well, it's like we, you know, we talked off air was, you know, I do. If I was sitting in the stands watching a race, that's basically how I shoot a race on video. I mean, I'm watching the race too, even though I'm up there working. I'm still watching the race. So, you know, you just try to be smooth and consistent. And I mean, there is an art to it, to do it, you know, at the level that we're doing it. So, I mean, you've got to be aware of that too, but it, you know, the main thing is just to watch the race, have fun with it. And, you know, just the races, they all play out differently. You've got to anticipate what's coming next. And I mean, there's a lot that goes into it that people might not realize, but I'd like to say we're doing decent at it right now. So
you're way too humble. I'm going to call you out right now. You didn't want to say art, and then you want to say you're doing decent at it. You're doing way beyond that, yeah, man. And you may not want to say it, but I'll say it. It is an art, and you're really, really talented when it comes to doing
it. I'm going to second that too, Dustin. That
well, I appreciate that.
And I'm sure what the people don't realize is that product that you put out on the internet for everybody to see, you're probably spending as much time at home editing as what you do with the racetrack filming. And I think that's what nobody realizes. I think they think, you know, you show up at the racetrack, you pull your camera out, you shoot some film, and you go home and you throw it on the internet. And I know better than that.
Yeah, it's the opposite of that. And I, you know, I know that we've been guilty of, you know, it's taken several days to get races up online. And you know, we've had trouble with our website. And there's been numerous things that aggravate me that, you know, I'm a perfectionist. And to have those things not go right. But it all comes down to, you know, we've kind of self-taught on this deal. It's nobody's been there to hold our hand on anything. So, you know, from day one, turning on the video camera, I mean, that was, you know, we're reading the manual. Okay, what do we do here? It wasn't like we had any guidance, you know. So
I think you started at the ground level.
Right. And I've had a lot of help along the way. I can't say I haven't. I mean, I'm to the point now that I've got a good, you know, network. There's a pretty big network of videographers out there, and we talk amongst each other. So I feel like I'm, you know, I've got a good support group now that's helping me along, and you know, I'm finally starting to get more excited about this deal because, you know, in the Fastlane side, I know it's been up and down all winter, but we've got some really cool stuff coming. The site's going to be so much better than it's ever been, just as far as design and the way things flow. And, you know, I've got my brother, Nathan, who's been shooting a lot for me, you know, when I've been doing other races like for Dirt on Dirt or whatever. So, I mean, we've got some stuff going on this year that I'm excited about.
And, you know, I'm going to throw out there, you said you've been guilty of waiting 2 or 3 days before you get it up on the internet. But you said it, you know, earlier that you have a wife, you have a full-time job. And, you know, we all have lives outside of that Saturday show that we all go do. And, you know, sometimes I think people need to realize that, you know, there's other things you have to do and get done, you know, in a week's time also. So
right, because I mean, up to this point, there's been no paycheck for any of this, and I don't want to sound like that it's all about the money, because it's not. I mean, it's not that at all. But like you said, you know, I go to work at 7:30 in the morning. I get off at 5, home at 5:30. You know, by the time you get cleaned up, you eat, say a couple words to the wife, whatever. You know, it's 7:30, and you got to go on and get in the computer, and you know, you're locked into that for a few hours, and you go to bed, and you do it the next day. And it's, you know, there's a lot that goes on the back end of you know, any media, like even with the podcast here. I mean, there, you've got, it's not just us sitting here talking and then boom, it's done on the internet. I mean, you've got some work too. And I just think that's something that, you know, the general race fan might not always know.
No, and not only is there not a paycheck, and I understand what you're saying, because it's not all about the money. You know, that's not why we started this, is hoping that, you know, we're all going to retire and just do podcasts. But, you know, because it is a hobby and it's fun. But a lot of people don't understand, too, that to do it the right way, with the quality that you're doing it and what we're trying to, you know, build that quality of, there's not only not a paycheck, there's a huge input cost to get you there. You know, to have top of the line equipment, to do things the right way, you know, you've got to invest in it with an understanding that you may not get the return on the investment, but you're going to help promote a sport that you love and, you know, help bring fans to that. So it is, you know, and you're exactly right. There is a lot that goes into it, you know, on both ends, but we appreciate what you do.
I'm going to throw out there too, I think the big sacrifice is, we're all go to the racetrack and do what we want to do. You know, that's our passion. But no matter if you're the driver, if you're the crew guy, if you're, you know, the videoer, the announcer, you know, the scorer, whatever, your spouse is really making the sacrifice, because you're not spending time with them. And I think that's really forgotten a lot, is, you know, the girlfriend or the wife, you know, and the kids, all, they're sitting home when we're at the racetrack, because we're doing what we want to do, and it might necessarily not be what they want to do.
Great point.
So that's where the sacrifice is, you know, they understand our love enough for the sport that they're like, okay, go do what you got to do on Saturday night. So
yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, that's, it's gotten a little easier since there's been a few paychecks coming in that, you know, she might be mad, but then like Tuesday or Wednesday when, you know, she opens the mailbox, it's like, oh, okay, I kind of get this now. And she's very supportive of me. I mean, I don't have anything to complain about there. It's just, but you're right. I mean, it's a huge commitment to take on. It really is.
And your whole family has to take that commitment on, because, you know, when the Brownstown schedule comes out, my girlfriend, first thing she does is write them all in the calendar and say, now I got to figure out something we can do as a family on these one or two off weekends, you know.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's like I was looking at my calendar today with, you know, we had a couple of dates here and there that have got canceled, and I'm shifting some stuff around, you know, for my out of town stuff. And I was looking at the calendar, and I've literally, you know, until I forget what week it was in October, I've got 2 Saturdays scheduled off, you know, of the whole summer. And those 2 Saturdays, I, you know, one's for a wedding and the other one's for my wife's birthday. I'm not scheduling anything. Brownstown, I think, is off, and I've just left it open. But yeah, it's
good call.
Yeah, yeah. I take care of her. So I mean, it's just one of those deals. I mean, it's a lifestyle. You plan everything around it. And I mean, we are actually going on a big family vacation this year, with my mom and dad and brother, and I believe Kelsey, my wife, her mom and sister and our nephew. I mean, it's going to be a big family get together, and I'm actually we'll be at Brownstown Saturday night. We're leaving Sunday for vacation. I'm actually leaving early Friday from vacation to go pick up a race on the way home in Kentucky. So, you know, it's more than a full-time job at some points.
And you know, you're at the racetrack, a racetrack almost every Saturday night. Your brother Nathan's at Brownstown when you can't be, and he's there even when you are, because you guys, you know, do the double cameras then. But then your dad Bobby, you know, he helps Mark and Jamie in the Schaefer Photo and Custom Tees booth. Yeah. Selling photos for them, because you know Jamie works at the racetrack and Mark's taking pictures. So, I mean, your whole family is dedicated to the sport of dirt racing.
Yeah, we've been in it. Like I said earlier, it's just what we've always done. I mean, I don't really know any different. It's just where we've been since day one.
Going back to kind of you threw out some of those hallowed grounds of racing, but what is your favorite track to work at?
That's a tough one. I mean, there's several. It really just depends on what type of race car. You know, if I'm going sprint car racing, I'm going to pick Kokomo over any sprint car track. I mean, I love going to Bloomington and places like that, but Kokomo is just always, there's always action, even when there's not action. I mean, it's just fun to watch.
I agree with you there.
Yeah. You know, if we're talking late model, regular stock car type racing, I don't know. I mean, I've seen a lot of good races everywhere. It's going to be hard to beat Brownstown for me. It's home. But I do like going to some of the tracks down south, like in Tennessee and Georgia. I mean, it's just a different atmosphere. And, you know, there's a passion down south for racing like we don't even have here. So, I don't know. It'd be tough to pick one track. I mean, I don't know.
And Brownstown's okay to pick. You know, it's a special place.
I mean, it's going to be tough for me to pick against Brownstown. I will say that. It's just, there's something about, you know, that's where I grew up at. And even to this day, going back there, you know, if I've been on the road for several weekends at different tracks, it's nice to walk in there and be like, I'm home, you mm-hmm. know. So I guess, you know, if we're going to pick, it'd have to be Brownstown.
That's good. That's fair. All right. Do you have, and again, I know you're in the media side of it, do you have a driver that, you know, and I don't want to say fan, because I know you're a fan of just action and racing and everyone. Do you have a driver right now that as you watch them that you're excited about, that maybe you follow a little closer because you think this is the next kid, the next person?
I mean, that to me would have to be Hudson O'Neill. Since I kind of started videoing at the same point he was starting to get into racing, and I've just watched him come up through, you know, from Brownstown to the Lucas Oil Series now. So it's, you know, I get to go work those races too. So it's cool to have that connection, I guess, to watch him come up through the ranks and just to see. I mean, I'm hoping that I'm actually working his first Lucas win. I really am. I mean, that would be something cool for me, you know, since he calls Brownstown home, so do I. So I'd have to say it was Hudson.
And that's going to come sooner or later, I think.
I was going to say.
Yeah. I'd really love to see it at Brownstown for the icebreaker. I mean, that would be just a storybook. You know, it would be storybook, honestly.
You couldn't write one much better than that.
No. Oh, they'd tear the place down. You know, if he got his first Lucas Oil win there, I mean, you know, nothing would be safe at night because it'd just be a party.
No, I would definitely be worried about the wooden covered grandstands and the bleachers, because I'm sure a fire is going to be started somewhere.
I was going to say, there might be one heck of a bonfire if Huddy pulls it in victory lane at Brownstown.
You know, me and you and your brother, between the three of us, you know, we went to victory lane about 170 times last year.
Wow.
Just to do, you know, interviews. And, you know, I thought about that on the way over here, because, you know, we, you know, it's me or you or me and your brother, we make that long walk, you know, from the roof down to the grand, mm-hmm. you know, down to victory lane. And we come back and we do that five or six times a night, you know, and I got to give a shout out to you guys. You guys help me out a whole lot, because if I leave something off, you know, you guys are always quick to say, you know, hey, next, you know, when we make that little short walk back across the track of, hey, try this next time. So, you guys have really helped me because, I mean, you know it. We've talked it. I had a year experience announcing when, you know, I got the nod to be at Brownstown. And, you know, you look at all the other people that sit in that seat that's been at Brownstown, you know, it's that's kind of, you know, great for me that there's some big, big names that have sat there that have went on and done great things as announcers. And, you know, I got to give you and your brother, you know, great big shout out for just giving me, you know, tidbits of help here and there because I really, because you hear, I mean, you
hear
the best.
Yeah,
you know,
hear it all.
And when you say, hey, try this, you know, and I really appreciate that. So I do want to give you that shout out, you know, that I do listen to everything you guys tell me when we come back across the track and I try to absorb it. And my girlfriend makes fun of me. You know, I've listened to our podcast like four times since we came out last Thursday and I just nitpick, you know, like you said, you're a perfectionist and I try to be and I get on, you know, your website and I'll listen to me call the races and it's like, man, you're an idiot. You know why you do that. So, I mean, I appreciate you do put it out there because it helps me try to grow as an announcer.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I feel like we're all in this still together. I mean, I'm very particular about myself. That's why it's sometimes it's hard to stay excited because if you have, you know, a few bad nights, it's like, is this really what I need to be doing? You know, do I need to be videoing? And you know, I don't really go back and rewatch my videos. I know from the start that if I did good, if I did bad, but we just got to keep digging and then putting out a good, you know, end product to try to attract people who are not involved with the sport. Like we mentioned earlier, I mean, it's just, we live in a day and age now where you've got to reach out to those people who are doing other things. And I feel like that, you know, racing is, it's not always the most easy sport to connect with for people. You know, it's not like a stick and ball sport. It's not, you know, I know right now motocross is huge. You know, they're selling the place out, but I think that it goes back to production. You know, the production of these events is tremendous. You know, and you get into that niche of people that are looking for that. And I think that's, if I had to pick one thing in the racing side of things that we could work on, it's the production that we're giving the fans. And that's what, you know, that's where I come in. I'm trying to learn what, you know, what's that next thing we can do to wow the, you know, the people who are not coming. So
and we need to make it more of an event. Like you said, you know, people go up to the Supercross because it's an event. You know, it's like, we're going to go watch this, we're not know what's going to happen. You know, we have kind of trudged along so long that it's the race, let's just go to the races. We need to make it, you know, more of an event instead of just the races on Saturday night. So, and you do help, you know, draw in people that might not show up on a Saturday night.
And before I make my point, I am going to recall something here real quick. For every driver or owner that we have on in the future, you just kind of laid down the gauntlet that 170 trips to Victory Lane in a year is kind of where we're looking for guys to get. I think any of them would be very happy with 170 trips to Victory Lane. So I just wanted to throw that out because when you first said that sounded extremely impressive in the racing world, but it wasn't exactly picking up the trophy. But
no, you got to understand, that's, you know, that's 5 to 6 classes in a night. You know,
absolutely. So, you know. Absolutely. But what I was going to say is, I hope that these racing promoters and the racing community sees it. And you and I have talked a little bit about where I think NASCAR has kind of fallen short, you know, not to get into a NASCAR discussion, but you can't just count on it being that generational thing. Because with today, with all the things that kids have available to them, we have to draw those kids in and we have to make it something that is, you know, for lack of a better word, hip and cool and exciting to go do. Because if not, we're just going to see more and more of those race fans die off and you're not going to have those drivers either. So it is something really important to look at with those events.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that goes back to what we talked about earlier was, you know, the time, the length of time it takes to run these events. I mean, if we're wanting to keep, or if we're wanting to get into that group of people who are, you know, more the hipster type people, I guess you should say, I don't know. I think you've got to just make sure everything is just shorter and it's exciting and we're in, we're out, you know, because I think that's the, you know, just the attention span that a lot of people have now is that, you know, they want to get on to the next thing. They're not content sitting there all night. And, you know, that's just a, some of these bigger events I've worked, I've seen that a little bit where they only run, you know, one or two classes. And I mean, it's more of a, you're there 3 hours and you're out of there at 10 and you've still got the evening. And I think that that's an important part that, you know, if I was a promoter right now, I would try to really hang on that given, okay, you've got, you want to give out all this value, you know, of your end product, but instead of doing it in 6 hours, let's jam it into three and let's make it an action packed 3 hours. Let's get them in, get them out, and let's go. And I know it's easier said than done, and we could talk about it all night, but I just feel like if we want to keep, you know, people my age and younger involved, that's what we've got to do.
And the three of us were born, like you said, we were all born, you know, I went at a young age, you went at a young age, you know, Dustin went at a young age. We kind of know what's going to happen, but you try to bring new people in the sport that don't understand, you know, they didn't watch it at five, and then when they're 25, that, oh, this is just how it is. And that's why I agree with you. We need to, you know, to pack it all into a tighter, you know, time schedule and just make it as exciting as we can in that time schedule.
And, you know, and another thing that I think sometimes we don't do a good job of, excuse me, is, and I kind of learned this with my wife. You know, my wife has went with me twice. She didn't grow up as a race fan. Even the format, you know, of we're going to come out in hot lap and then, you know, we're going to qualify, then we're going to have heats, and then there's the Concy, and then there's the B main, and the, you know, all of that idea to her, she's like, why are they back out there again? And so what, mm-hmm. So did he win or did he? So I think even some of that, you know, intimidation factor for some people of, I'm not really sure what's going on, you know, and I think that's one thing that we can do better. And I'm hoping through this podcast and the stuff that you do helps that along too, that people feel comfortable just come out and learn and ask questions and, you know, understand what's going on.
Yeah, and going back to how I was talking about people down south and their passion, I worked an event back in, I believe it was January, at Boyd Speedway down in Georgia, and I was set up, down there you've got to shoot video from the stands, there's not a platform or anything, and so I'm right in the midst of the people, and it was cool because I, you know, you always make a couple friends, and, you know, and that whole deal, but there was some people sitting in front of me. And like you said, the friend that was their first time to the racetrack, they were with a friend who was into racing, and they kept asking those type of questions. So what's going on now? Why are they back out? Why this? Why that? And just for me to sit there and see that, it was neat to see them engaging and you know, trying to learn. But I at the same time, I'm thinking, how can we make that easier for people to understand so they don't really have to ask questions? They know, you know, let's try to make this a little easier for people to relate to.
And see, I've never thought of that just because I always knew. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe with me announcing, that's something like maybe I can through the night explain, okay, this is why, you know, and open it up to those people, you know.
And you know, my wife enjoyed it. It was just, I don't think she felt, she didn't like sitting there thinking, I'm the idiot in the room. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like everybody else around here understands what's going on and this. And she enjoyed the racing action. And I'm probably not the, and I'm trying to be better, but I was probably not the best race fan for her to go with last year at the No Way Out when Briscoe's there. And I'm excited, and, you know, and she's asking me questions. And I'm like, It's cool. This is what's going on now. So I could have probably done a better job as well, but I do think it's something we got to be aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's just, I've talked to people that used to go to the races back in, you know, the 80s and 90s, and they don't go anymore. And I always ask them, why do you not go anymore? And they said, we just don't, for one, we don't know as many people racing. Like back in the 80s and 90s, I think, you know,
everybody's
neighbor had a race car, you know, somebody had a way of connecting. And I think that's a big complaint now, is we don't know anybody, and it's hard to sit there and watch cars go around in circles if you don't know anybody. And I think, you know, like we've said all night, this is where we all come in with a podcast, with video announcing. We've got to make the people know, you know, who they're watching.
There's great characters at Brownstown, you mm-hmm. know, and I think we, you know, just need to do a better job exposing those characters, because, you know, we have the good guys and the bad guys, and, you know, the people like us that's been there for years and years, they know the characters. But I think, you know, now we need to expose them more of being the good guy and the bad guy, and you know, the guy that struggles and the guy that doesn't, and, you know, make sure we cast all the light on the people on the racetrack, you know, that everybody is coming to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's always got to be a good guy and a villain to keep things exciting. I know one thing that I struggle with a little bit on the video end of things is you never know what exactly you can put out there sometimes, because I've got some interviews with some people that, you know, I know who you're thinking, who I, you know, right off the bat, who we're talking about. And it's like, God, if people could just see that, if they was open-minded enough to be able to just sit to watch it and not take offense to it. I mean, I think if we could get back to that a little more, it would help our sport a little bit. But, you know, that can get into a whole new can of worms right there. Yeah. So,
well, and another thing, and again, connecting with those people, and Brownstown does some of these events throughout the year, but getting the drivers connected with the fans, and there are some drivers that do a tremendous job of it, and there are some drivers that, and I get it, you know, it's a rough night, it's a ton of work to get there may be a letdown, but remembering to connect with those fans, especially the young ones, that's how you hook them, because mm-hmm. it's like, and I've said this before, I grew up going to Bloomington Speedway and watching Kevin Briscoe there, knowing Kevin Briscoe's from my hometown where I grew up, that's what kept me coming back. I wanted to watch Kevin. You know, the reason why I turn an Xfinity race on now is because I want to see Chase race when Chase is racing. So that connection to that one person, and the way that, you know, Kevin came to people and was, you know, was a fan, it was a fan favorite, you know, really helped me connect with the sport.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to Brownstown on that. When they had the kids' night last mm-hmm. year, you know, the drivers bought the bicycles that we gave away to the kids, and I was really, really impressed with all the drivers that came to the infield when we started giving the bicycles away. So they wanted their picture taken with the kid that won their bicycle, and I know Lucas Wiemiller put his stickers on the bikes he gave away. You know, he tried to make that fan-driver connection, mm-hmm. and I'm going to give him a big shout-out for that, because, you know, he made sure he got pictures with him. I think he had a little printed card that had his car on it, and, you know, I was thinking back, man, if I was a kid now,
oh my gosh,
and, you know, a driver when I was a kid did that for me, I would have been a fan of his for life, just because mm-hmm. he took the 2 or 3 minutes with me when I was a kid. So, you know, I am going to give a shout out to those drivers in Brownstown for letting that happen. You know, there was a way that they could connect with some drivers that night.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I feel like a good example for me on that is, like I said, we used to go to Salem Speedway on Sundays. You know, we would get there at 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was. And at the time, the infield was the cool place to be. And, you know, we took the grill and wagons with lawn chairs. And, you know, of course, Mom and Dad, they had beer with them. And, you know, everybody's just having a good time cooking out. And we was there for a USAC race. And it was, I believe it was 1992, somewhere in there, Tony Stewart was racing USAC, and I don't know, of course, I was young, I was born in 88, so I remember it, but I don't remember why we went to Tony all the time. I didn't realize he was, you know, going to be the next big thing, you know, hey, he was another driver to me, and we went over there, and he walked up to the fence there at Salem, like in the infield, and he just thought we wanted an autograph or whatever. And he was busy at the time. You know, he gave Dad one of, you know, stories. Well, I'm busy. I'll come back later type thing. So I don't know. It was an hour or two later. We go back and he was busy. He was working on his engine or whatever. And he saw us and he stopped everything he was doing. And he came and got me and took me over the fence into the pits. And I was, you know, 4 or 5 years old, shouldn't have been in there. And he like set me in his car and everything. So from there, I always had a connection with him because he went that extra step to, it was more than just an autograph. It wasn't, you know, to me, sometimes an autograph is not a really, you know, it's cool, but it's not that wow, this has got me.
And that's what I, you know, when I was a kid, we'd watch the races at Brownstown, and I'm sure you guys are both too young to remember this, but they used to, all the drivers would park on the front stretch of the racetrack to get paid. You know, they'd all pull in, all their haulers, and my grandpa, we would come out of the stands, you know, walk out on the track, and, you know, the cars, back then, you had almost no open, or nothing closed, you know, everything was open. Mm-hmm. So you could get close to the race cars, you know, you could smell, you know, they still smell because they were still warm from racing, and the drivers were there to get paid, and, you know, it was this, you know, what other sport could you have done that? You know, you can't go to a football game. No. And, you know, even after the races now, you know, you go to Eldora, the races are over, the pits are wide open. So you can walk around and see all your drivers, see the crew, get up against the cars. And, you know, as a kid, I think that's what sold me was I almost felt like I was a part of the sport by being a fan because it was so open to the
right.
fans.
And I feel like getting back to this, I know I've said it 100 times, that's why we need to get done earlier sometimes is, you know, if we're at 1 o'clock, the kids aren't going to go down the pits and walk yeah. around. They don't get that opportunity. If we're done at 10, we've still got a couple hours to goof off, you know. And I just think that like you said, that's something that makes it more personal for the younger generation is getting interactive with them.
And the fan appreciation nights at Brownstown, you know, you hear a lot of people in the stands, they complain that we, you know, we stop before the features, let any driver that wants to bring their car out to the infield. And I think the drivers are as excited about that as, you know, because it's more aligned to the young kids. But, you know, they're buying, you know, print cards, autograph cards to give out. They're giving candy away. You know, they're standing there for pictures. And, you know, I think that driver is going back to when he was a fan, when he was a kid. And that's his time to give back because that's what he wanted. And me, personally, I can't wait to get down there. You know, we talk to him. Me and you talk to him before the races all the time. But I still can't wait to get down there because that is like an event. Like, all these drivers are here, you know. And
absolutely.
When we go around try to get interviews, I get excited about that, you know, because if I was a kid, I would have ate that up. And they didn't do that at all when I was young, you know.
Yeah, and you said earlier, you know, about the autographs. The name really is nothing, and I kind of agree. It's the interaction and the experience, because I could get an autograph, but you know, you were kind of standoffish, you didn't care. That puts a bad taste in my mouth, mm-hmm. you know. The story you have with Tony, that's a whole different experience and feeling, and I'm glad you shared it, because Tony doesn't always get those positive stories
exactly.
out there
and
about him.
That's why I mentioned him, because, you know, if that moment wouldn't have happened, you know, I don't know if I'd ever been a Tony Stewart fan. I mean, at that age, though, I was just old enough to have that connection. And, you know, obviously he's he's a very controversial type person, you know, to a lot of people. But I'll always have a respect for him just for that, you know, that moment he took for me. So, yeah, it's all about those experiences.
Yeah, and again, I don't know sometimes that – And the drivers are great. I don't want this to sound like I'm bashing the drivers whatsoever, but the drivers, I don't know. It's hard, I think, sometimes for them. They work their own, you know, a job, you know, through the week, especially those guys that are weekend warriors doing it. I don't know that they truly realize what kind of stars they are in a lot of fans and kids' minds. You know, it's like, you know, you may be putting on the grind Monday through Friday and you're out in your shop and, you know, you're just a regular Joe, but when Saturday night hits and you're that guy on the track, you are a star. And that's something I would encourage every driver to understand is, you know, you mean the world to some little boy sitting in the stands that, you know, loves your car and loves what you do. So just always be cognizant of that.
And you don't have to be the guy that goes to victory lane every Saturday night to be that star either.
No.
You know, I got friends that sit in the grandstands on Saturday and, you know, they have their driver in about every class that they root for, you know, whether they win or they don't win, they're going to still root for that guy. So, you know, just because you're not winning every Saturday, you still have quite a few fans up in, you know, in the stands.
Absolutely. Ryan, when and we've talked a little bit about the time, you know, another question I would ask you is, what else, when you look at the future of dirt track racing, what needs to happen to really continue to you know, grow the sport and, you know, build it? In your mind, what else has to happen for that to take place?
Well, I mean, like I said, it goes back to the production side of things. I mean, I don't know what the answer is, to be honest, you know, because it seems like that I can't really call myself that generation anymore, because it's, you know, the kids who now are like 12, 15 years old, I mean, it seems like they're really quick to move on to the next thing. It's like they're hard to grab their attention and keep it. So I don't know. I think we've got to keep up with some of those trends. I mean, even though that's not exactly what, you know, we've been in this sport forever, we don't want to see it change, but I think that we're going to have to be willing to adapt to, you know, certain things. I don't know what those certain things are, but there's just you got to keep up with the times, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I don't know. It's tough, though, because kids now, it's, you know, my nephew, he's in eighth grade, and one minute he's doing one thing, and the next minute he's doing the next. I mean, so I think the biggest thing, I guess, if I had to pick something, is just making it relatable. Mm-hmm. I think that's why you're sticking ball sports, or, you know, because every kid's got a basketball at home. You know, it's every kid doesn't have a race car in their at their house that they're, you know, with a basketball, they're okay, I got a basketball, maybe I could get to the NBA. Well,
right.
There's no starting point for a kid that doesn't have a race car. It's like, well, I can't relate to that, so I'm going to move on to the next thing. So I guess the answer to that would just be keeping it relatable and just be willing to, you know, accept the changes sometimes that might have to take place.
And I know that my next statement's going to sound like I'm just trying to spend somebody else's money, which it's a lot easier to spend somebody else's money than my own. But, you know, one thing I would like to see promoters and tracks do is try and increase the interactive feel while you're watching the race. And I think other stick and ball sports and other things have done a really good job of that. You know, my wife and I went up to an Indy Fuel hockey game a few weeks ago, and it was a ton of fun. But constantly throughout, there's this idea of, you know, tweet a picture of you at the game, or hey, how many goals do you think would be scored? And I think about the racing world, and again, I know that's technology, I know that costs money, it's easy to spend it, but how great would it be if right before the feature at the No Way Out, you know, there's a Twitter poll with who do you think's going to win, and every fan in the stand sitting there voting, and that could be broadcast out for what the fan favorite is, and anything to keep that interactive feel between fans and the track and the drivers, I think would be a huge advancement for the sport.
Yeah, I anything you can keep in their hands, you know, everybody's on their cell phone. If you can keep them interactive, or, you know, with that cell phone, that's going to be huge. One thing I do have to say is, if you guys haven't been to the Gateway Dirt Nationals out in St. Louis, it's the second year last year. They put late models and modifieds under, you know, a roof. It's in a dome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the production value that went into that and what they did with that event, it grabs your attention. It keeps it. It's, you know, I think that after seeing how well that worked, you know, it was very interactive. There was always something going on for the fans. I mean, they're going in the right direction with that event. I think everybody really should take notes from that and try to look at what they're doing and see if they can do it better.
Go ahead.
I'm you know, another production thing that I always enjoyed when I was young was when, you know, you got to had the two or three races a year that you got the driver introductions where they all pulled out on the front stretch. They was out of the car. Their helmets were off. And you got to see what they look like. And I know when I was young, that was important to me because I want to know who I was rooting for, what they look like. And it seems like now a lot of promoters are nervous about that time, and they're bypassing that to where I think sometimes we need to just take those few minutes out to do those little things to, like you said, to connect to the fan that is sitting down there, because maybe that, you know, they've never seen, you know, what one of those drivers look like, you know, out of the car with his helmet off. They don't go to the pits.
Right, you know? I see that all the time with these events. They start the schedule out saying, okay, we're going to have a driver introduction, but, you know, the schedule, it gets pushed back, and all of a sudden we don't have time, we're going to skip that. Where that should be the thing that they're focusing on, you know, their event around is those type of activities. So I think a lot of that goes back to, I mean, we're racing five or six classes a night. It's hard to get all of that done in a reasonable time. Because I can remember going back in the 90s to Brownstown. I mean, there'd be three classes and probably as many cars in those three classes as we have now in five or six, but everything just kept moving. I mean, it just, you didn't have all that time in between to, you know, I don't know where the time goes. I mean, because one minute it's, you know, we're hot laps, and next, you know, it's an hour later and here we are. So I don't know. It's just, it's a tough to really narrow down where that time goes, but I think that's something we definitely need to be looking at.
But, you know, every class there has a special race. And, you know, I think when that special race comes up, we do need to take that time You know, let them pull out. Let them have their time in the sun, you know, and be the stars that night, because I think that'll help promote the sport, help promote the drivers, because, you know, like we talked about, this our hobby. You know, you're probably not getting the money out of everything you spent in your equipment. I know, you know, Dustin's not getting the money out of he spent his equipment right now, and the driver definitely isn't getting, no. You know, they're getting $200 to start, and, you know, they're spending way more than that just to get there that night. So, you know, let's highlight the drivers a lot more, and, you know, stuff like that. You know, we have the banquet, and we give, you know, we highlight the drivers that night, but all it's there really that night is the drivers and their crews. You know, the fans really miss out on that night, and that's a special night. You know, the drivers are highlighted, but I think we need to take more time throughout the season to highlight that driver and that crew and, you know, stuff like that.
Is the banquet, do you do any filming at the banquet?
We do not. I think that that's something, you know, moving forward, we might look into doing, because I know that, you know, the bigger, the national series is like your Lucas Oil and your World of Outlaws. They do Dirt on Dirt videos, those. So I think that would be something in the future we probably need to work on doing is putting, you know, back to production. I've said it 100 times tonight, but putting production there too, and trying to make it all just full circle for everybody, because, you know, the fans don't come to the banquets so much. It's the people that are there for awards and their families, so the fans don't really get to see that side of things, and get, you know, it's a night that you can go up and talk to anybody, and, you know, it's just a fun laid back night. So I think if we could show that a little more, that'd be a, you know, a good step too.
And the banquet we just had, I do got to give some props to Jeff Wilson for kind of scolding some of the drivers that night that walked up and, you know, grabbed their envelope with money in it and the trophy, and they walked off, because, like he told them there, you know, this is your night. This isn't really your night. This is your night to thank your family, to thank your crew, to thank your sponsors. And I kind of wish the guys that say nothing when they walk up there would take note of that, because, you know, you're probably going to lose, because I've seen some sponsors showed up with some drivers. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they would really like to hear that guy say, hey, I appreciate, you know, what you did for me this year. And, you know, that's when, you know, those drivers do need to go up there and thank the people that helped them, because, you know, none of them can do it on their own.
No, I agree. I think that's one thing that does aggravate me is the guys who won't even, I mean, nobody likes speaking in public. I don't care who you, I mean, you can be comfortable with it, but it's not the most pleasant thing to do. But I feel like there you're around those people all year. You should be comfortable enough to get up there and say, hey, thanks to my sponsors, my family, and move on. You don't have to give a speech. You don't have to, you know, have all this big formal, you know. I just think that, like I said, we've been together all year. Surely we can come up with, you know, a minute worth of material and talk a little bit.
If you're confident enough to show up and ask them for money, you got to be confident yes. enough to thank them at the end of the year.
But, I mean, if you just want to be generic and say, yeah, I want to thank everybody that helped me, you know, that's 10 seconds and you're done, but you're still throwing a thank you out there, and, you know, instead of just grabbing the hardware and walking away. And that's just, I guess that's the fan side of me that sees that, because I think, you know, I would really like to see that, you know.
Well, and a public thank you. There's a huge difference between just me pulling you to the side and saying, hey, thanks, I appreciate it, and publicly at a banquet like that, putting that person out there that's really, you know, sacrificed or helped to get you where you've been.
I know when my buddy Keith Deppe always raced, you know, before he quit, at the end of every race season, he would take like a half page ad out in the newspaper, list all of his sponsors and do a big thank you there. That way everybody could see that they were out helping him and his appreciation there. And I always thought that was kind of cool.
That's a very cool idea.
Well, I think to plug Mark Schaefer a little bit here with Schaefer Photos and Custom Tees, he's a tool that everybody at Brownstown, if you're racing there, you need to be utilizing that, because he can take your sponsor's logo, put it in a picture, print it out. You know, it's just simple things like that, you know, there's sponsorship money out there. I mean, I know, you know, everybody says money is tight. It is tight. But if you're professional and you can show somebody that, hey, here's what I'm doing, here's who's watching, here's who's listening, you know, let's get out there. I mean, I just think that there's simple things that can be done to get that.
And I actually heard some people come up to Mark at the banquet and say, hey, you know, I forgot all about this sponsor. Mm-hmm. Can you make a picture for me? I want his logo on it. And Mark was more than willing to do that, like you said. You know, he is a great tool for the sport. And, you know, he was a former racer himself, you know, realized that he was good at doing photography. And he does exceptional
yeah,
work,
very good.
I think.
And I appreciate you bringing them up because I don't want to, you know, sound like I'm talking the talk but not walking the walk, because I want to thank Mark and Jamie Schaefer and Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee for being a sponsor of this show, and kind of, you know, stepping outside and saying, hey, we're going to try and help support these guys as they get this started. And I agree, if you're at Brownstown, whenever we can get snow off the ground and get into the racetrack, stop by and help support those guys, because they're helping support things like this and drivers and trying to keep the sport growing as well. So again, I want to publicly say thank you to Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee.
You know, since we've been on the banquet, I'm gonna throw out there too that they out of their money, they buy all the rookies the Hoosier jackets, and those, you know, Hoosier doesn't give them to Mark and Jamie to give out. Mark and Jamie spend their money and buy that stuff, so all the rookies and all six classes get a jacket that night. And I think sometimes they forget that's just Mark and Jamie's thank you back for letting them do what they're passionate about and encourage people to be in the sport. So, you know, that they buy all those jackets themselves there.
Very cool. What are you excited about this year, Ryan? When you look ahead to the season and some of the, you know, series, what's got your interest peaked? I mean, right now, I think we're all fiending for anything right now. Yeah. I mean, it's March, and we're melting off 6 inches of snow today, and all of us are fiending for something.
Yeah, like you said, I'm just ready for anything. Sometimes I don't mind getting a rain out here and there because it's a little bit of a breather for me, but I'm to the point now, it's like, let's go. I don't know. I'm just excited about having a full schedule this year. I get to see a lot of different places. There's a lot of good stuff going on at Brownstown. Probably the one highlight I've got, though, I'm the most excited about is having the Jackson 100 live this year on dirtondirt.com. So that's going to be a big night for me because I'm at home. I'm working for Dirt on Dirt. It's live to, you know, to the world to see. It's going to be a cool experience for me personally, and to be able to showcase Brownstown on that level for me is going to be huge.
And I'm gonna throw this out, you know, James Essex shows up with Lucas Oil, so I always enjoy that the Jackson 100, I get to be a fan. You know, I got to call all the other classes that night, but I get to be a fan during the Jackson 100 every year and just watch that. And, you know, it's good that I can still go back and be a fan every once in a while at Brownstown, you know, when James rolls in, because, you know, when he's in the house, I just assume he'd do all the announcing because, you know, I can't touch him. So, you know, when he's there, I just assume hand the microphone to him and kind of just take notes. So that I am glad that I get to be a fan during the Jackson 100.
Yeah, and I mean, James he's a ball to work with. I get to work with him here in a couple of weeks down at Batesville, Arkansas. I'm excited about that. You know, he's a guy that, you know, everybody looks up to James. I mean, he's just fun. That's his life. And, you know, that's another thing that, you know, James, we've talked a lot, and he's really kept me pumped up on what I'm doing and always trying to get to that next level. And, you know, just like, but going back to the Jackson, I mean, just being able to work with James and just it's full circle for me, for that event. And, you know, I know I've had a few people say, well, how is this live broadcast going to affect the crowds? And, you know, I know right now that's kind of a touchy subject with racing and video and live broadcasting now, but I think that goes back to some of those changes we need to look at. I mean, we are a live broadcast where, you know, it's showcasing your facility, it's showcasing the event. I mean, it just, that's where things are going, and you need to, I guess, embrace that and just see that the stuff like that's helping build the sport. You know, if somebody, you know, from out of state rents this package to watch this event live, maybe next year, let's make this deal look good so next year they'll come and actually physically be there. So
and I'm going to totally agree with you. I'm all for Dirt on Dirt during this because, like you said, it's going to be professional. Mm-hmm. It's going to make Brownstown look at its best. I don't think I am a fan of the guy that gets on Facebook Live and sits in the grandstands holds his phone up, because then you're having, you lose all professionalism for one thing. You got the guy filming yelling out his opinions. You got the people around him yelling out theirs. And if I've never been to Brownstown Speedway and the first thing I ever see is some guy doing a Facebook Live from turn four, that might not make me ever want to go to that racetrack, because, you know, you're not necessarily seeing the highlights of the night.
Exactly. And that's my biggest pet peeve is professionalism on that level. Is, you know, it can honestly, it can hurt a racetrack if your video, I mean, you've got to have it now. If there's a racetrack out there that's not utilizing video in some way, they're behind in my book. You know, and that's why that I'm such a perfectionist about it. And I know it doesn't always, you know, it don't always show, because, you know, we're still learning, but you've got to showcase an event. Like when I walk into the racetrack, that's my first thing is, how do I make this place look good? What can I do to make people want to come here? And I mean, that's something we've got to look at. If you're not utilizing video, you've got to get on board and make sure it's professional. And because on the backside of it too, you know, when going back to sponsorship dollars, you know, I've had people say, well, why would I go to the race when I can just watch it on video? And that's not what it's about at all. I mean, I feel like if, you know, tracks can use this to go to a sponsor and say, okay, we've got X amount of fans in the stands, but we've got X amount of people watching it online too. So, you know, you can use that to your advantage to go attract sponsors. And it's just, you know, something we need to be looking at.
Well, and I'm going to go back to something you kind of said earlier. I don't think you're going to lose fans if the production value is there. Because, I mean, you look at the most popular sports, you know, the NBA is still going to sell out games. You know, the NFL is going to have full crowds. I mean, college football, the big house is still going to have 104,000 people there. I could still stay home on Saturday and not go to Michigan and watch the game. But the production value and the quality of that, it's better to be in the stadium. So I think, again, what you're talking about, the production value of being live at the Speedway has to give you that little extra bit that sitting at home watching it doesn't. And that's what I think that connection to the drivers really gives you. And I think the best thing about the video is it is going to draw some people in that maybe haven't ever been there and get that feeling of how good the racing can be at Brownstown.
Yeah, absolutely. I always, you know, even before I got involved and really knew what was going on in the media side of things, you knew if you went somewhere and there was video cameras there, and there was media there, okay, this is big, this is cool, I'm glad I'm here. And, you know, and it's still to this day, like when I go work these live shows, it's like, wow, like this is big time. We've got cameras everywhere. We're, you know, we got people in there clicking buttons, and we're, you know, we're broadcasting live. This is it. So it does. It adds a different excitement level to the event, you know, in a whole.
And there's enough history of the Jackson 100 that, you know, it needs to have that limelight of being live on dirt, you know, because there might be people, you know, out west that just cannot get to Brownstown Speedway that, you know, have never really got to experience the Jackson 100. Because, I mean, you look at the winners list from that race, it is the who's who of dirt late model racing. I mean, you know, the best of the best has went there and raced and won. And, it, you know, you hear a lot of them talk, they want to go there and win the Jackson 100.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right. You look at that list, it's like, my God, this place was, you know, this is it. And at one time, like back in the early 90s, Brownstown was the place to be for late model racing, you know, just the location of it and, you know, the reputation that the place has. It's really cool. And, you know, I think that the past couple of years, the Jackson, to me, just hadn't felt, you know, since I got out and seen what else is out there, it's like I feel like we're a little bit behind. So I was really glad to see that Michael and Jim there at Brownstown could get that put in place to do it live. I really think it's going to, you know, that to add some prestige back to the event and get it pointed back in the right direction.
And, you know, I'm kind of, I'd like to be a little bit of a historian for the race, but it seems like this new generation you was talking about, they could really care less about who won it, you know, in the past. They want to know who's going to win it this year. Like you said, it's just their attention span. They could care less that, you know, Scott Blomquist won it seven times, you know, and all that. That they don't care about that. They're just who's going to win it tonight, and then it's over and done with. Where, you know, I like to look back and go through all those past winners and, you know, Steve Barnett, how many times he came so close, you know.
Right.
At one time, he had the most consecutive starts in the Jackson 100 and the most starts ever, you know, until he retired. And, you know, it seems like this new generation, they don't care about the people that paved the way for the sport now, too. And that kind of bothers me because, you know, those, if it wasn't for all those guys in the past, we would have nothing now.
Oh, absolutely. And we talked about Hudson O'Neill earlier. I mean, he, honestly, he's brought a, you know, a group of people with him. He's added a little bit of that new kid on the block, like what's going to happen next type thing. And we need more people like Hudson and involved with this deal, and, you know, just to help with that group of people.
Well, and I'll agree with that too, because even watching in my hometown with Chase and kind of his climb through the ranks, when I get on Facebook now and I see people that are commenting as they're watching the Xfinity race, and I'm like, you've never been to a race in your life. But again, that connection to that driver and that, you know, some of this younger generation that I would have never seen at a dirt track are all of a sudden, you know, when he was coming to the No Way Out, I saw kids on Facebook like, we're headed to Brownstown tonight because Chase is going to be there. So I do think as some of those young stars kind of, you know, pull their fans along, we'll see some of that. And that leads me to my next question for you, and I'm going to move away a little bit from the event side of it. When you're looking at, and we've already talked about Huddy, so we're going to leave Huddy out.
Okay.
Who's somebody that's new, maybe, you know, somebody that's a rookie you know that's coming in, or a second-year guy that you think maybe they haven't had the success they've wanted, but they're going to be the next guy that starts making that climb as well. You got somebody?
Are we talking like on a national level? Or?
It could be at Brownstown or national, because we all know you can start right there at Brownstown, just like we talked about Huddy, and be the next guy at the national level as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question. It really is. But, I mean, I think that I can't pick one name, but I think that person, it could be a number of people, but they've got to have, you know, they've got to have the talent, you know, most importantly, but they've got to have a personality too. I think if you can get a guy that's got some talent, got some personality and some drive to keep doing it, that's going to be the next person, you know, 9 times out of 10. I don't know. It'd be tough to pick one person right now for me. I mean, I think if you want to keep on a local level at Brownstown, you know, you mentioned Lucas Wehmiller earlier. I mean, I've not seen a guy as dedicated right now to what he's doing. You know, he's spending the money. He's a go-getter. He's, you know, he has, you know, had a handful of races at Brownstown, and Eldora had a race, so we're going to race. And he hauled to Eldora.
Oh, I was
no experience, and you know, so I think he's a guy. He's got a great personality. He's getting better each week. I think that he could be the guy at Brownstown.
And we talked about having being a character. He is a character. Mm-hmm. You know, he shows up. You know, I get to the racetrack very early, and Lucas is already there. He's got his American flag raised up next to his race. You know, he wants people to know, hey, I'm Lucas Wehmiller. I'm here. His car's unloaded. He's very approachable, and he is a good character. I mean, he named his race cars, and I know, you know, when I would announce them last year, he enjoyed, you know, he had the name of it on the back of the car, on the back bumper, so I would add that in when he would roll out. And like you said, you know, he had maybe 5 or 6 races at Brownstown his rookie year. I go over to Eldora to watch the Johnny Appleseed and the modifieds roll out, and I turn around, and here comes Lucas out for hot laps, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this guy's raced 5 times in his life, and now he's at Eldora.
Right, and I mean, that's just the type of guy he is. He's not going to... Oh, I'm not ready for that. I'm not going to Eldora. He's like, no, let's go race. Let's go do this deal. And I really think that's what it takes to, you know, to make it in this sport and to be that, you know, to get fans and to just be successful. Is it's full circle: personality, talent, and that drive to do it.
And he's a good guy to hand the reins to help promote the sport, because he's there to have a good time. He wants to race. but he's also there to have a good time, and he wants everyone around him to have a good time, and that's what we need.
Yeah, I mean, I actually been friends with Lucas for a while, and I stopped by his shop one night out there, and I don't know, after work, I got there about 6 o'clock, and it was on like a Tuesday or Wednesday night, and the next thing I know, it's 4 in the morning, and we're still standing there just talking, and but that's what he's all about. He's in the shop. He has fun with that. He has fun racing. He's one of those guys. He has fun, and that's what it takes.
Lucas, I am going to throw it out. We'd love to have you as a guest on here.
So absolutely.
That'd be fun. I'd like to be here for that one.
You're welcome back anytime. Well, we're at about an hour and 15 minutes. You want to wrap up here, Matt?
Yeah. Ryan, I know you're redoing the website. You said bigger and better things coming. Where you heading next to do your Brownstown going to be your first stop, or are you going off for something on dirt?
I've actually got, let's see, with this rain out this week, I think I've got to go to Florence, Kentucky next weekend. So I believe that's where I'll be next weekend. Then the first weekend of April, I go down to Batesville, Arkansas for the Lucas Oil race. So I was kind of bummed I missed the first two big races at Brownstown, but, you know, I want to be there as much as I can, of course, but I don't know. I got to look at my schedule. I've got so many dates and stuff going on. I don't even remember anymore.
So Nathan's going to be with us at Brownstown then?
Yep. Nathan, he's going to really, I think he's excited for this year. He's going to really take reins on things there. Because even when I am at Brownstown, I'm going to try to keep him up top and keep him, you know, shooting up there as much as possible to, you know, because that's in the video world, that's the place you want to be. I mean, that's the place. So if I can keep him up there, keep him excited, and I've got some other projects in mind I want to work on here and there, that's kind of the plan. The website, it's basically done. I'm just critiquing some stuff and testing out some stuff, because I mean, most people know we're going to switch it over this year to like a paid subscription site, just to help us cover some costs.
Absolutely.
And you know, we've got a lot of money wrapped up in equipment and time, and you know, by no means is it going to be anything expensive for people. I mean, I've had people wanting me to do DVDs, and they'd pay me $20 for a DVD for one night of racing. And for what we're doing this website for, you can, for $20, you'll be able to watch, you know, 3 or 4 months worth of racing. So we're going to make it very reasonable for people and help us out and just try to make things better. I mean, I'm really excited about what we're doing with the website right now and where it's going. We'll just see where it leads. I don't know. We've got some stuff in mind, but we'll just see.
You guys do fantastic work, and I'm sure Nathan can hold Brownstown down, but when you guys are both there, you guys do some awesome things. You know, when you take the other camera and, you know, you go off on angles that we can't usually get on just a Saturday night, and you know, and then when we have time before the races, we go do some interviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always fun, and I look forward to that. That's something I do look forward to, and get to know the drivers more, because that just helps me out, you know, when I go with you and we do those interviews, because that gives me something to talk about during hot laps other than, hey, such and such is out on the racetrack. So, you know, I do appreciate that. And again, it's, we're connecting the fans with something there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we need to be doing more of that. I'm hoping that we'll get on it. You know, we need to follow some storylines this year and try to build some more structure there. That's kind of one of my plans, is not so much just go aimlessly looking for somebody to talk to, but have more of a storyline and keep things exciting and try to build some, you know, I don't want to call it drama, but try to build some, you know, storylines in there for people to keep an eye on. And
again, that personalizes and connects, yeah, back to that driver.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the past, we've had some pretty good rivalries there at Brownstown, and we try to cover it as you know, best as we can. So I don't know. I'm kind of hoping we get some stuff like that this year, just to help us along. But I don't know. I'm just excited. I'm ready for it to get started. Hopefully Mother Nature will cooperate here soon.
Well, and Ryan, I would like to, you know, first of all, thank you for coming out here tonight.
Absolutely.
And also thank you for jumping on and kind of sponsoring and helping us out, you know, as we get into this, and you know, what you guys are doing, the quality level, the professionalism is what we're trying to achieve and, you know, follow along with that. So I'd like to say, as one of our sponsors, guys, when this new website rolls out, this is going to be a better deal than going to the movies on a Saturday night. And it's not a one-time movie. You know, this is going to be the opportunity for you to keep up to date on racing, see these storylines, see what these drivers are doing, and have that 3 or 4 months of racing for a cheaper price than what you can take your girlfriend, your wife, you know, to the movies. And if you have kids, there's absolutely no way you can do that. And I want to thank you for what you're trying to do to not just shoot the sport, you know, on film, but advance the sport and, you know, push it to a different level as far as production. So, again, the last thing I'm going to ask you is, I got to ask you to give us a promise that about midsummer or here in a month or two after we really get going, you'll be willing to come back in and sit down with us so we can really talk some actual racing action and things like that. So that's my last favor to ask.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll be on anytime you guys want me, for sure. I love what you guys are doing. You know, I appreciate, you know, the support you're giving us within the Fast Lane and just racing in general. So I think that, you know, what we're doing here and this type of coverage is what the sport needs to keep people connected. And, you know, I think it's fair to say we've all got a pretty strong passion for what we're doing in the sport. So I hope that the people can take notice to that and get behind the whole deal in general, you know, with racing and keep it going.
I am going to throw out before we get off there that anybody listening that is a car owner, a driver, a passionate fan, you know, holler at us on, you know, on our Twitter or on the Throttled Up 365 or the Throttled Up Podcast.
ThrottledUpPodcast.com.
Yeah, holler, you know, hit us up on there. Let us know you want to come on. You know, we're definitely looking for people to interview and talk to and get your word out. You know, this would be a platform that you guys can, you know, push your sponsors and what you're going to do this year. You know, if you're going to travel around, you're going to race at a racetrack, you know, hit us up and we'll be glad to try to help promote you there. So
absolutely. And I'm going to wrap it up by reminding again, if you're looking for another podcast that you know, kind of in the racing family, check out the Briscoe Breakdown, again done by my good buddy Toby Wedgwood, again following along with Chase. They just did their first episode of this season, him kind of looking at this transfer to the Xfinity series. But all those past episodes are there from the last year, so go check those out. Again, thanks to our sponsors. It's going to be another week at least until we can go and see Mark and Jamie Schaefer at Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee. So, you know, once we get to the track, please check those guys out. Their website and information is also included on ThrottledUpPodcast.com and links right to that if you click on that page. So go check them out. And as bad as a rainout is, and we know we're going to have another weekend off, I am going to say for our second sponsor, it's a real good weekend if the site gets up, if you've not been and explored, you know, in the Fast Lane Productions, go check it out. And even if the site maybe is not quite up by this weekend, go check out their Facebook page. There's a lot of good stuff there right now, you know, and kind of get that feel. And if you're that person that maybe listened to our podcast because you know us from a different way and you're thinking, man, I don't know. I don't know if I really would go. I don't know if I'd like this. Go to, you know, the In the Fast Lane Productions Facebook page and check out the videos and the excitement and some of the stuff they're doing. And I think you'll definitely have a mind shift there. And then the last person, Kenny Montgomery, again, want to thank him for allowing us to use his new single, Dirt, as our introduction. And if you haven't yet, go to iTunes today and download that new single along with Dirt Track Thing. Huge thank you to Kenny for being so gracious and saying, yeah, run with it and use my song. So I appreciate it. And to you two gentlemen, thank you both. Hope you have a great week.
See you.
I'm from that dirt, 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 dirt. I'm all about that dirt, 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 dirt. I'm throwing dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that dirt, 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 dirt. Gotta get back to it. I'm a dirt trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that dirt, dirt, dirt.
dirt. Gotta get back to it. I've been the Kenny Wallace of the rap game. Ever since I hit him with that dirt track thing. Now nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like. Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Them cold kind, we're tossing. They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution. I hit the high side, boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like Kyle Larson. Watch me throw them sliders. Party in Victory Lane, and y'all boys ain't invited. Your mama gets excited when I pull up to unload. Even your grandpa talking about, man, that boy too cold. We don't sit on 24s, we don't ride on spinners. I'm posted up on them 15s with platinum dirt defenders. Got kids up in my window like, hey, Mo, are you gonna win it? Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, cause y'all know I'm about to send it on it. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 gotta get back to it. I'm a dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 gotta get back to it. I just won hot laps for the third week. Lil Dave said he thinks we're in the first heat. So I go and check the board on my bike. Sitting outside pole, y'all know what it's looking like. W, W, that's another George W. Hit him with that half a lap like, dang, what gear you running, dude? And where'd you get that fire suit? Man, I like that stitching. Velocity USA, hey, just tell Brad that I sent you. I'm shining like I'm rubbered up and I'm smiling for the pics. Say cheese. Y'all boys be looking tacky while I stay looking slick.
So short.
Four new rims, no new friends. They never know what I'm planning.
Never.
And mama just gave me them eyes like, dang, baby, you looking handsome.
Hey,
we pray and sing the anthem. Nobody takes a knee. We stop and show respect because we're all proud to be.
That's right.
From the land of the free and the home of the brave. Y'all better wake up and get it. We're making America great again. Let's all go out and kick it on the
dirt. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 dirt,
gotta get back to
it. I'm a dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that.